Consider all. God bless you, saints, this evening. I think you already prayed for these, Brother Willie, yeah? These requests. God bless you. God bless you, Brother John. Good to see you, bro. The brother sneaked in and he's sneaking out. When are you leaving, bro? 19th. Ah, good stuff. So he's around for a bit longer. God bless you, saints, this evening. Let's open Exodus chapter 3. Let's just continue on a little bit from last Friday. Let's read the first five verses again. Six verses. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Now the thing I like about that is that when Moses met the burning bush, he was in the line of duty. You know, he was leading his father's sheep. You know, so that's what he was responsible for at that time. You know, and that's what you do if you're not in the line of duty. Verse 2, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Let's pray, Father. We approach unto thee once again, Lord, to read of such sacred and precious things, Lord. Father, how we desire for each and every one of us that we could all say, I've heard, but now I see. Amen. That, Lord, your word should be made flesh and the experience of each and every one of our souls. I pray for every soul represented here upon this day, just wanting to lay aside our own understanding now. Father, just wanting to move by your grace and by your mercy, Lord, from the realm of the natural, Father, into the realm of the supernatural. So help us, Lord, as we wait upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. Also good to have Brother Vlad back as well. Sister Lydia is coming back on Wednesday with the others. So I thought the brother would be in the post of duty. That's where you meet the Lord. Exodus chapter 3. We know it's a real powerful chapter. Last Friday, we started looking a little bit at, we looked at the burning bush experience. So we saw, what really was entailed in this unfolding of God to his prophet at the burning bush, and what a change that it brought in the life of Moses. That it wasn't just an experience, but it was an experience that contained a revelation. You know, and that's what we need, because, you know, we can all have experiences, but what does the experience really do to you? What lasting benefit does any experience have? You don't just want to have an experience. You want to have an experience like Moses, where he had an experience, a spiritual experience, but then something was said to him. Something made things clear. Something showed him his day, his message, his place in that program. Showed him what God expected of him. Something came and spoke to him that helped him to understand right the way from his supernatural birth all the way to the mistakes that he had made. You know, everything that he looked back on in his life now, everything just made perfect sense now when he stood in the presence of the burning bush. So that's why we want a burning bush experience. And we want something that will reveal him to us, that will reveal who we are, that will reveal what he wants us to do, that will make things clear, something that will answer our questions and, you know, the things we didn't understand about our lives. Why did it have to be like this? Why did it have to be like that? Why did this happen? Why did my brethren not accept me? All those things that Moses had been through, he now had this one experience at this time, which was a culmination of his life. This was now a turning point. This was a great junction in the life of the man. And it was God who chose this season. You know, because if we look at the burning bush, we'll see there's several things. The first thing we look at is there's the seasons of the burning bush. Now, whenever the burning bush comes down, it means it's an Exodus time. So whenever you find this kind of manifestation, when God starts coming down in this kind of a way, now, this isn't something you find in every chapter of the Bible. This is something that happened at certain key junctions in the Bible. So there's certain seasons when you can say it's a season of the burning bush. Amen. And friends, we're living in the season of the burning bush as well. We're living in those junctions of time. You know, and the reason we're living in that season is because the Lord knows that in navigating these kind of seasons, when the enemy comes in like a flood, when there's science so-called and all these things to come and challenge faith, there's got to be something to meet the challenge. And it's only the burning bush experience that meets the challenge. There's nothing else. Theology, religion, all these things have failed. None of these things can meet the challenge. It was only the experience at the burning bush that could meet the challenge for Moses. And it's the same with us. Now, until a person has this personal experience like this, the devil will always play with your mind. Now, he can reason with you. He can surround you with critics. He can surround you with unbelievers. And they can say very convincing things. And they'll be anointed by the devil. So what they're saying has an anointing. It has a power. It's not just words. Like Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These words of critics and these words of Mr. Unbeliever, Mr. Skeptic. Now, all these things, they come many times with seemingly convincing arguments. But no matter what you said to Moses after this experience, it doesn't matter how much Jannes and Jambres would rise up and people would show this is a fake and we can do the same as you and all these things. That didn't affect Moses at all. And that was the important thing about this experience. And you can always tell somebody who's had a burning bush experience and somebody who hasn't. Because someone who's had a burning bush experience, we know the quote, we read it last week, we sent it around, you can't move them from the front line. It doesn't matter the disappointment that comes. It doesn't matter what rises up in the message, though hundreds of people depart from here and hundreds of people from there, and people question this and question that. But friend, there's something that's happened to a person. And it's not just a sensation. You know, it's not just that somebody had a tingle in their back or something like that. But it's a meeting that's as real as meeting anybody else. Amen. Now, when Moses met Jehovah at the burning bush, it was just as real as any meeting he had had in his life. Amen. Because he spoke. There was something supernatural that he spoke to. And that supernatural spoke back to him. And there was a revelation in that supernatural that spoke back to him. It was so personal. And friends, that's what it's got to be. That's the only thing that can meet the challenge of any age. Especially these scientific ages when Paul says, "Know ye not that in the last days perilous times shall come." And all of these things that will rise up. You know, this is the only thing. Yeah, and that's why we had some fellowship on Skype with some of the saints a couple of lunchtimes this week. And we're speaking about that. You know, that in this kind of time, in these kind of seasons, you know, you can take this burning bush and you can find out the Bible is actually just the story of the burning bush. Yes. You know, the book of Acts is just the story of the burning bush. Yes. You know, the prophet's ministry is just the story of the burning bush. Because the burning bush comes down at an Exodus time. And you find the burning bush now. The Lord came down in the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3 and spoke to his prophet. And now we find there becomes a change in the life of Moses. Before this experience, Moses was the prophet. But now he became the burning bush prophet. Now that's such a difference, friends. He was predestined before. He was ordained. He was commissioned. He was called in all the different things that he had been through. But until he had this experience, he could never ever fulfill what was written of him until he became a burning bush prophet. Just being a prophet wasn't enough. He needed to be a burning bush prophet. And it's like us as the bride. Now we can be predestinated, called, we can know all the quotes, all the scriptures, but you will just be the bride. But the one that's going to inherit the rapture is a burning bush bride. It's the burning bush bride that's going to inherit all the promises. Because Moses couldn't fulfill his portion. He couldn't see the manifestation of the promises until he became a burning bush prophet. Until he had been a prophet that was transformed at the burning bush. And that's the difference between the bride and the burning bush bride. The bride is on her way to becoming a burning bush bride. Because everyone that's predestinated to the rapture will be a burning bush person. You can't be in the rapture if you're not a burning bush person. You can never fulfill the promises of God that pertain to yourself without the same thing that happened to Moses. You've got to be a burning bush believer. And that's the difference. There's something a prophet says. You can tell within 5 minutes when somebody's got the Holy Ghost. You'll just see a difference in the life of certain people. And it's because, as we'll see, the burning bush starts off in the fatherhood. It's God above us, and God comes down in Exodus 3 as the Father. He comes down as God above them. The burning bush now becomes the pillar of fire to lead them. Then the prophet says, but then the burning bush became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And you can see God is moving like the shifting of the mercy seat. You find the shifting of the burning bush. And now you find the burning bush was in Jesus. That's why Jesus would say, before Abraham was, I am. He was the I am. So he says, it's my Father who dwells in me. He does the work. Who was in Jesus? Was the burning bush? The burning bush was in Jesus. That's how you'd see the same manifestation in Jesus that you'd see in the book of Exodus. It was the same. But that wasn't the end of the burning bush. God's final resting place of the burning bush wasn't in Jesus. God's final resting place of the burning bushes is in His bride. Once the burning bush came down on the day of Pentecost, that was God's resting place. That's where God always wanted the burning bush to be. And that's why you'll see the story of the Bible is the story of the burning bush. Because God is the burning bush. This is the life of God Himself. This is the fire that never gets consumed. That's why if this fire is in you, you'll never get consumed. It doesn't matter what the devil does. Doesn't matter how long we have to push. Doesn't matter how long the promises seem to tarry. But you have a fire inside of you that burns but is never consumed. It never burns out. That's what the burning bush is. And that's in the soul of the genuine born-again believer. And that's why it doesn't matter what the devil does. The devil can knock you down in your health. He can knock you in your mind. But there's those sacred sands there where there's the sacred flame that burns. Sometimes it may seem to get dim because you crowd it out with so many other things. But you just get a believer who's been in the presence of the burning bush. Let them just wait upon the Lord just for a short season and see how that flame will start to burn once again. The way that flame used to burn. But if somebody doesn't have that, friends, then a lot of trouble in this kind of an age. Because you're very vulnerable to the conditions. You're very vulnerable to the guile, the wisdom of the enemy. And he's very wise in the way that he operates. And you wouldn't want to try in your own strength, your own ability to overcome. Because that's what Moses tried to do at first. No, he tried to use his ability, his natural learning, his natural understanding of things to try to overcome. And he found out that it didn't work. The prophet says in the message, Junction of Time, the Junction Time, 1956, he says, it was out yonder on the side of the hill one day, a man 80 years old, whiskers, who had, had disobeyed God. And God came down in the likeness and power of an angel, spoke to him in the burning bush. What was it? It was the time for the prophet to appear. You see, this was Moses' time now. We know about Moses for 80 years before this, but this is when Moses became Moses. This is when Moses became the burning bush Moses. And the prophet says, it was time for angels to appear. It was at the end time. The junctions of the road. Why? It was the junction time, the end time. So that's what this burning bush always means. When you find the burning, and why does the prophet speak in this kind of a way? How does the prophet always bring this up? Because of his experience. The prophet knew I had my 30-something years before I met the burning bush. And I could never quite fulfill what I was supposed to fulfill. He says, and then he sent down an angel because it was time for the prophet to appear. So 1946, it was time for the prophet to appear. So how did the prophet come on the scene and start to fulfill that which was written of him? He met the burning bush. The burning bush came to him, and that was the junction that made him now not just the predestined prophet, but the burning bush prophet. And that's how the prophet could go and do the things that only Jesus could do. Because the same burning bush that was in Jesus now was in the church. That's why the prophet would come, because he was the burning bush prophet. So the burning bush was speaking through the prophet. The burning bush was discerning through the prophet. And then it unfolded itself until the burning bush revealed the burning bush message to the prophet. Which is what we believe. We believe a burning bush message. This message never came from the prophet. He didn't have the education. God made sure of it. This is a burning bush message. Where did Moses get his message from? From the burning bush. When he went down and he told the people, all of his education had nothing to do with it. He was speaking of what the burning bush told him to say. And the prophet says in the fifth seal, he says, them revelations in the presence of that ball of fire. What's that? That's revelation coming from the burning bush. So we received a burning bush message. Our friends, but a burning bush message doesn't help until we become a burning bush bride. Because we'll be like Moses, we'll be taught by our mother, we'll be taught all of the theology of the message. But until we get onto those sacred sands and become a burning bush bride, the burning bush message will never fully be able to show what it is. Until the bride moves, like the prophet did, to become a burning bush bride. And that's why everybody needs this burning bush experience. We have to be a burning bush bride. So the prophet says in the arrow of God's deliverance, he says, I think of Moses standing up there on the mount by the side of this burning bush. He had lost all hopes of freedom.
Amen.
We mentioned it the other day to the saints. Yeah. Moses had come to a place. He was predestined. He was elected. He was born to fulfill this particular purpose. But because he tried to do it without the burning bush experience, he got to the stage that he lost all hope of freedom. He had like almost given up there in the backside of the desert. The prophet says it didn't seem like the freedom that the people he so gallantly stood for at one time was ever going to happen. But in the light of God, standing by that burning bush, everything in him changed. Everything in him changed. He says, I think it's the same today. Many of us lose the sight of freedom. We were saying it the other day. You know, we've got diseases which we have for a long time. We have afflictions and situations and challenges and all these things. And if we're not careful, we lose sight of freedom. We start like just surrendering to those things. Say, well, this is the way I always was. This is where it's always going to be. That's what Moses had got to. Moses had got to that stage that he lost the sight of freedom. He just thought it's always going to be like this. But he wasn't predestined to that. Friends, we are not predestined to lose sight of freedom. We're not predestined to allow something to have dominion over us. There's got to come a season, and it's God's provided time. There comes a junction in your life. Like there was a junction in Moses' life where the Lord said, it's enough now. This man, he doesn't need to have this lost hope of freedom anymore. But what made the difference? The Lord came down in the light of God. And then the Lord spoke to him. The prophet says, that's the same today. Many of us lose the sight of freedom. He has a little boy sitting, probably infantile paralysis. Little arms twisted up. A little lady with a white cane sitting in front of me. A blind woman, probably. Lovely young lady. There in the little cot. Maybe many of you there with cancer, heart trouble, diseases that's going to kill you. But you lose all thoughts of freedom as soon as the doctor says it's incurable. You see, you listen to the wrong thing. Because you haven't listened to the burning bush. These other things, they speak louder. You know, these are the things which now we listen to. And Moses listened to his own understanding, maybe his father-in-law, maybe his wife. He listened to all those things before. But finally, he came to the stage where he heard another voice. When he stood in the presence of the pillar of fire. The prophet says, why, brother? If we would ever come in the presence of God like Moses did. Why? It was a revolutionary to him. I like that. There's times we need revolution. You need something revolutionary in your experience. Things have come to a certain point. God's watched over you. He's protected you like Moses. Then he brings you to that junction in life where there's got to be a revolution. And when it's time for revolution, the burning bush comes down. It's like in the Christian world, it needed a revolution. It didn't need a reformer. We didn't need Luther, Wesley, and another one like them. It needed a revolution. Because what religion could offer, it wasn't going to fulfill the promises. It wasn't going to bring forth what God had promised. So God has to come down in a burning bush to his people to cause them to become burning bush people. And whenever you have this kind of an experience, there's a revolution in your life. These are revolutionary experiences. And that's how God wants it to be. Now he says, if ever we came into the presence of God like Moses did. Now, this is a prayer line, yeah? This is the prophet. There's people waiting to be prayed for. Why is he saying these things? Because, friends, the prayer lines. Every person who came through those prayer lines with the right approach had a burning bush experience. Because the burning bush was in the prophet. And when the burning bush would come down and anoint the prophet, it was exactly the same being that was at the burning bush. And when Moses had his need and he had lost sight of his freedom and he needed a revolution, his education wasn't going to overcome for him. All of his goodwill, all of the things that he had tried to do, it was insufficient. God said, that's okay, because all of your insufficiency is covered by the burning bush. Everything you need. And all these people had come and they'd been to the doctors and they'd been to psychiatrists and they'd try to find solutions to these situations until many of them had lost sight of freedom. But that's when God's grace stepped in. God's grace stepped in the form of the pillar of fire. Because here was a burning bush prophet. So these people would now come and stand in the prayer lines. Imagine, under the first and second pool. Yeah? The prophets met the burning bush in the cave. He's received his commission. He's coming now. He's now the burning bush prophet. And he's coming to the people commissioned by the burning bush. And every single one of those people that came the right way had a burning bush experience. There was a revolution. The woman with the white cane didn't need her white cane anymore. When she came into the presence of the burning bush. Because she had a burning bush experience. And the freedom and the deliverance that she had long given up on. Now in the presence of that light. In the presence of that pillar of fire. Listen how the prophet explains it. But you can understand why he's speaking like this to these people. I'll say this like this. Every church service, if we come the right way, can be a burning bush experience. It should be. Because we're the burning bush bride. If you come, how many times do we come or you put on a message at home? And like I say, you're defeated, you're disappointed, you've got questions, you don't understand, what does this mean? Yeah? You come, the song leader gets up. There comes an inspiration in song worship. The minister gets up, God gets into the word. God speaks to you. And when you come to the end of the service, there's been a revolution in the way that you look at things. When you had lost sight of freedom, you didn't even have hope anymore of certain things. What caused? That's a burning bush experience. It may be in a minor form, but that's a burning bush experience. Every time you come into his presence, every time he speaks to you, it's a burning bush experience. But it just depends on how deep we want this to go. That's what we want. We want something far more from the burning bush than we've received. But every genuine believer knows what a burning bush experience is. It's when you speak to the supernatural and the supernatural speaks back to you. That's a burning bush experience. And these people that were coming to the prayer line, they needed the burning bush experience. If the burning bush didn't speak to them, they were going to stay in bondage. But here was a prophet of the burning bush. The burning bush came down to minister deliverance to Israel. It was time for deliverance. So the prophet says it was revolutionary to him. Why? It would revolutionize. He says, in the light of that angel of God standing there on that mountain that day. So these people are going to come and stand in the light of that angel of God. Because the angel would come down in the meetings and people would come and stand and the people would feel something. And Brahma says, you can feel that. Don't be scared. That's the angel. They would feel that. It was the same thing. So he says that. He says, in the light of that angel of God standing there, everything that he once had or thought never would happen came to be a reality. everything that he thought would never come to pass, amen, in the presence of the burning bush, it became a reality.
Amen.
And I think if men and women today would ever step into the light of the Holy Spirit, under the unction of God's Spirit, in the light of God's Word, everything that God has promised will be illuminated to you and be real again. Ah, oh, friends. That's what I'm saying. We have a burning bush message. It's not enough. It's not enough. You need to eat the burning bush message in the presence of the burning bush. Then it becomes Shekinah bread. Then it becomes the body word of the Son of Man. Then it becomes you eating of his body and you drinking of his blood. Friends, and you know what it's like when you come into his presence and he speaks to you. And that word that you've read many times before, that message you've listened to many times before, it becomes a supernatural something to you. But it takes coming into the presence of the burning bush for that to happen. So now, Moses, before he knew all the promises, his mother had told him all the promises from when he was young. Say, Moses, God promised Abraham after 400 years, he would minister deliverance. And all these promises, he knew the promises. It's like us, we read the promises in the message. We read the promises to the bride. Yeah? We read all the things that the prophet, God revealed through the burning bush prophet. We read them in the burning bush message, like Moses did. But Moses, now he tried to implement them. Yeah, he tried to see how is this going to. He tries to deliver the people, and it doesn't work because there was a missing element.
Yes.
Was the burning bush?
Amen.
That was the missing element. And when we try to be healed and we're not, when we try to be delivered and we're not, there's a missing element.
Yes.
Come into the presence of the burning,
amen,
bush, because in the presence of the burning bush, you start to realize yourself.
Amen.
All things are possible.
Amen.
Those things you had given up hope with, all of a sudden you see it in a new light.
Amen.
Like I said last week about the prophet. No, he hadn't gone down on the Pentecostals. He had messed up at Mishawaka, yeah? His wife dies. He goes through all the late 30s into the 1940s. Nothing much happening.
Amen.
Nothing much. He says, I lost anointing. My church started to go down, yeah? Imagine how he felt. He continually would think to himself, I must have messed it up. I had an opportunity to go and I didn't go when he told me to go. He lost sight of deliverance. That's how the prophet knew how Moses felt at the backside of the desert. Because the prophet had been in that situation himself. But the prophet also knew exactly what changed things for Moses. Because the prophet experienced exactly the same thing in the cave when the angel came down. And now the promises were spoken to him in the presence of the angel. Ah, friends, that's when the promises now they take on a different light. Isn't that kind of a light? The prophet says, when we step into the light of God's word, with the unction of the Holy Spirit to shine the light on it, brother, the impossible becomes little things then.
Yes,
amen. So let's not start with going off over here and going off over there. Let's get back to the burning bush.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. Get back to the burning bush. Get yourself into the presence of the burning bush.
Amen.
You need your burning bush experience.
Amen.
So that those things that you're claiming, those things that you're standing on, yeah, so that he can come. And then all of a sudden, those things which you can't understand, how can this be? I've tried this before. I've tried that before. Go and read it again in the presence, yes, of the burning, yes, bush.
Amen.
And you're going to see there's a difference now. Listen how he says it. He says, God asks us to believe his word.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Then he sends the Holy Spirit to energize the word.
Yes. Amen.
So Moses needed it to be energized. So he came into the presence of the burning bush. And that same word that he had heard all the time became new to him now.
Amen.
Because the word in the presence of that light became energized to him. And God never spoke everything to Moses.
Amen.
He spoke the things pertaining,
yes,
to Moses.
Yes.
He came and answered his questions. He came and gave him the promises pertaining to himself,
amen,
to his situation, to his present day circumstances he was in, what he was facing up to. That's the power of the burning bush. It's God will speak personally to you. Each of those people that came in the prayer line, the prophet never spoke generally to them. When the burning bush now would take over that human instrumentality of the prophet wouldn't even know what he was saying.
Amen.
And then that woman comes up before, and she's got heart trouble, and people have spoken evil, and all this gossip about her saying she's a witch. And she comes into the presence of the burning bush. She's been to a lot of people, have given her theology. She's been to a lot of people, given her science. Been to a lot of people who can't minister to her need. And she comes in the presence of the burning bush. And now her burning bush experience, a voice speaks to her from the supernatural. The voice of the burning bush speaks. Because it wasn't the prophet who said it. It was the angel now came into the prophet and spoke it. That's how the prophet would come out and say, what did he say? I can't remember what. That's why he wanted them to tape so people could go and listen again, because the prophet couldn't remember what was said. And you want to argue with a man like that. Friend, you're far more foolish than me. I'm not going to argue with a man like that. That when you're sitting in the car and you're reading the church age book to the prophet and he says, read it for me, Brother Perry, and you read it, and then the prophet says, no, Brother Perry, don't need to worry about that page. Turn over to the next page. We need to create something in the middle of the next page. When a man spiritually is sitting there and you've got the book, but he's reading the next page. And I'd like science to explain that to me. I'd like science to explain it to me. That's how when you meet the burning bush, science has its place. But you know that science is of the devil. Because science tries to keep you from your burning bush experience. The very thing that you need to revolutionize your life. For you to fulfill your purpose and your destiny. For you to see God's word made flesh. The reality of the promises that God has made concerning you. Anything that comes to stand in the way is your enemy. Anything that comes to reason you away from a burning bush experience is your enemy. Doesn't matter what guise that comes in. I wouldn't fellowship with it. I would have nothing to do with it. Because it's the same old serpent that was there in the beginning.
Amen.
That came with one agenda, which was to separate them from the tree of life.
Amen.
And the tree of life and the burning bush are the same thing.
Amen.
The tree of life and the burning bush. Moses came into the presence of the tree of life.
Amen.
That's what he came into. He could go 40 days, 40 nights, not eating and drinking. Where was he? In the presence of the tree of life.
Amen.
But now there's the tree of knowledge. And Satan makes it so beautiful. And he offers it to you. And people go and eat from that tree, not knowing it's destroying them.
Amen.
And what is the great, great cure for it? Eat from the tree of life.
Yes, yes, yes.
Just give it a test once. Just go yourself and drink from that fountain. You will never want to drink from these broken systems. You will never. You will never. And we're speaking from personal experience. And anybody here that's had any experience with God will testify of that. The worldly knowledge is just broken systems,
yes. Right.
Stagnant water. It can't quench the thirst of the soul.
Amen.
There's only one thing, which is meeting the I am. That's what Moses met. The revelation of the burning bush was, I am that I am. Friends, today he's still I am. When those people came in the prayer lines, what did God reveal himself as? I am.
Amen.
I am the solution to your current situation. I am. He's always the I am. He doesn't change. Tonight, he's the I am. He never changes from being the I am. And a burning bush experience will teach you that personally. You will know he's I am. He's not just the God of history, but he's I am. Because I met him and I know that he's I am. He knew. Moses had heard of the I am before. He had heard a lot of things from his mother. He had such a good teacher. But he needed that personal something. And that's why the prophet said it's the revelation of Jesus Christ that brings the new birth.
Amen.
That person, Moses was never born again until this stage.
Amen.
He knew all the message, but now it was the personal revelation of I am to him. Now Moses was the burning bush prophet. Now he could appear on the scene. Now he could fulfill all that was written of him. But until then it couldn't. He was seed. But to bring the seed to life, to bring the new birth, yeah, it needed this revelation. that needed this unction, this personal presence, this personal meeting where God spoke to him personally. Ah, friends, there's nothing more powerful that ever happened in somebody's life. Nothing more powerful that ever happened to anybody. And these people, this woman comes up and they're saying she's a witch. And she's got in the prophet now, the burning bush now speaks to her. And he says, I see a dark shadow following you. It's a lie. Someone told a lie about you. They said you were a witch. And there's a big stir in your church about this. And your pastor, he's got heart problems. Yeah, he got caught up in it as well. And then all the things that he says. And then finally he says, you're not a witch. Go your way. And may God bless you. And there's nothing wrong with your heart. It's just that you've got all worked up.
Amen.
Friends, what word can we use for what happened to her? Revolution.
Amen.
That 1 minute in the presence of the burning bush revolutionized that woman.
Amen.
Didn't matter what people said about her. Didn't matter. Now she understood everything.
Amen.
The way that God understood things. And that's the only thing that counts. Is how God sees you.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how people see you.
Yes.
It's how God sees you.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how you look at yourself. But when you come into his presence. And he speaks to you about how he looks at you.
Amen.
It'll deliver you, friend. It'll deliver you. Because there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ.
Amen.
Who can bring charge to God's elect?
Yes.
No. What can separate us from the love of God? Can powers or principalities? Can angel, can things present, things to come? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. But that's what the burning bush will teach you. Now, someone will teach you that theologically, teach you intellectually, yeah? And then when the crisis comes, it's not there. Because it wasn't real, it wasn't personal. God never spoke it to you. Someone spoke it to you. That when you come in his presence and he speaks to you, you'll never be the same. Moses could never be the same. Moses now became the burning bush prophet.
Amen.
And it doesn't matter that all of Egypt turned every arrow and every chariot against Moses. He continued down there with his shepherd staff. He didn't mind. He'd been in the presence of a greater king, the prophet says. He didn't mind about Pharaoh. He didn't mind about Jannes and Jambres and all the impersonations and so forth. Because he had stood in the presence of the burning bush. And God had spoken personally to him. Commissioned him personally. He knew who he was. He knew what he was raised up for.
Amen.
As the song says. Now, the prophet says, he energizes that. He flashes the same light of God's blessed promise. That's what he did to Moses. God now said, I have remembered my promise. I've heard the cries of my people. You see, his mother had told Moses before, God said this and God said that. But it never changed the man's life.
Right.
But now God said it to him.
Amen.
The same things, but now God said it to him.
Amen.
And that brings a revolution.
Amen.
When God speaks it to you, it's
going
to bring a revolution.
Amen.
When you share his word in his presence, you come on that holy ground.
Yes.
You take off your shoes. He attracts you. He does something to attract your attention. It's his junction. It's his season of visitation. And he does something and you sense it inside of your soul that now is my season.
Yes, yes.
Something will take place at this time.
Yes.
This is a junction in my life. Things are not going to be the same after this.
Yes.
And you take off your shoes
yes.
and you approach him the right way. There's going to be a revolution.
Amen.
There's going to be a revolution.
Amen.
Nothing can stop that revolution.
Yes.
And something's going to change in you. And you're never going to be the same because this change can never be unchanged.
Yes.
Once you have this change, you can never go
yes.
back to what you were.
Yes.
Moses could never go back to what he was.
Right.
It's like the new birth. The revelation of Jesus Christ personally to the soul of a person.
Amen.
You'll never be the same.
Yes.
It doesn't matter how the world gets total gross darkness of unbelief. You will still believe.
Yes.
You have to. How can you not believe? Can anybody tell me Brother Wumo doesn't exist? It's impossible. I met him. And that's what Moses did. He met him.
Amen.
It was a burning bush experience. So the prophet goes on, he says, then when God's word, his promise became enlightened by the presence of the angel of the Lord. Stop, Moses, now. It's the same as you and I. Sometimes you're trying to challenge the devil. Sometimes you're trying to challenge something inside of your life, but you don't have the authority. There's just a something that's not kicking in. You can just feel it at that time that, no, I'm just not hitting that point. But there's a something that happens at certain times.
Amen.
When something comes and energizes that promise.
Amen.
Stop you now.
Amen.
Nothing's going to stop you now. You're going to kick him out. You're going to kick him down. You're not going to allow him 1 minute longer, because that burning bush experience has given you authority.
Amen.
Not just knowledge, but you have authority now. You have a quickened knowledge, which is a revelation, and revelation gives you authority over the devil. Revelation gives you power over the devil. So if you're getting beaten or overcome in certain things in our lives, don't worry about fighting that battle. The key is not to fight the battle. The key, get to the burning bush. Get back to the burning bush. Go and get a fresh anointing. Go get a fresh commission. Go and get a fresh experience. Go and get a fresh energizing of the promise. And then you go with that full armor of God on you now. And see the difference that it'll make. It revolutionized Moses. It revolutionized the prophet. It revolutionizes every person who comes into the presence of the burning bush. He says in Divine Love, he says, one time in the Bible, a young man by the name of Moses had been very well trained in the strategies of the mightiest nation in the world. A great military man. He had been taught by one of the best teachers that could teach religion, his mama. 40 years of experience. And with all of his techniques and with all of his strategy, he failed to do the job. So friends, it's good to admit failure sometimes.
Amen.
And it's good to admit that I failed here because I used my strategy and I used my technique.
Yes.
And I never went into the presence of the burning bush first. But this was my strategy. I want to do this. I wanted to do that. That's your greatest enemy. He says, and then God took him to the backside of the desert, kept him there for 40 years. And one day, God came down in a little burning bush. And Moses knew more about what he was to do in 5 minutes in the presence of God than all his Egyptian strategy had taught him for 40 years. All of his training never competed with that great moment in the presence of God. Take 80 years of a man's life with all of his knowledge, all of his education, all of his theology, put it on one side of the scale. Take 5 minutes at the burning bush and it just goes, it outweighs it all. That's what the prophet's saying. It doesn't compete. All the devil had tried to teach him, all the devil had tried to do inside of his life, when he came in the presence of the burning bush, none of the rest of it could even compete. You can't compete with the real thing. And that's what we need, is the real thing.
Amen.
Doesn't matter what the devil's done to you. Doesn't matter. He might have poisoned your mind. He might have poisoned your experience. He might have done all manner of things to bring unbelief into your life. But the Lord can even give the devil 80 years head start. So you do your job for 80 years. It's okay. I have an antidote. I have a solution to that. 5 minutes. I just need 5 minutes with him, and you needed 80 years. But my 5 minutes is good. You're not even able to compete with my 5 minutes.
Amen.
That's the power of personally coming into the presence of God.
Yes.
That's a challenge, friends.
Amen.
Let's never accept just theology.
Yes.
Let's never just accept this lie that's in the message where people say, you know, friends, you hear it all the time. People say, you know, it's enough just to believe the message. No, no, no. Moses believed the message for 80 years.
Amen.
You need something to energize it to you.
Amen.
And it's only the burning bush that can do that. Something to make it real. You may have the seed inside of you, like we said, and Moses was a predestined seed. The prophet said he was one of those eternal attributes of God. That's not enough. That's still not going to get the job done. Because until that seed comes to a burning bush experience It'll just lie dormant as a seed. That once the seed had a burning bush experience, now Moses could show who really Moses was. And that's why it needs that. You know, there's no way it can come to life. There's no way it can conceive. There's no way that original seed can bring forth of its own kind without coming into this presence. Without this presence coming and overshadowing that soul, that seed that's inside of there. Ah, friends, and then there's going to be a revolution. There'll be a revolution in the life of a person. And the carnal mind will never understand. They'll think you've gone mad. They'll wonder, how can this man go down among the mud daubers? How can this man forsake everything? Yeah? They can't understand the carnal mind. That's why we said last week, you don't want mind communion. Yeah? The communion of the mind. You want soul communion. This is the first time Moses ever had soul communion. Was when his soul came into the presence of the burning bush and God spoke to his soul. And once you've had soul communion, you will never be satisfied with anything else. When believers get together and they play mind games with one another, like happens in the message, yeah? You know, trying to outdo each other with quotes and all this. That's mind games, friends. Mind games doesn't get the job done. Mind games doesn't satisfy. The only thing that satisfies the soul of a believer is soul communion. When the burning bush is in you and the burning bush is in me, bring us together for fellowship and let us have soul communion. Something's going to take place. Because the voice of the supernatural is going to declare itself from the burning bush. Oh, friends, we want soul communion. That's what we want. Because what do we receive at the burning bush? We receive the mind of Christ. Now, if you trace it through now, this burning bush, how it started coming down in the days of Moses. And then the burning bush now came into Christ. The prophet in all the prayer lines, when he speaks about it, he speaks of always these junctions. He even speaks of it in the life of Abraham. We'll speak about that maybe on Sunday. But then finally the burning bush came in to the church. But what happened to the church before the burning bush came in? What does the prophet say about the disciples before the day of Pentecost? He says they had no oneness with each other.
Amen.
And they had no oneness with Jesus.
Yes.
Now Jesus, he had perfect oneness with the burning bush. Because the burning bush was in him.
Amen.
So he was always in fellowship with his Father. He was always in fellowship. He was always communing with the burning bush, and the burning bush was communing to him. I do nothing until my Father first shows me and all that. So Jesus, he knew the program. He knew what was expected. He knew exactly what needed to be done. And he tried now to teach it to the disciples. But they couldn't understand it. Why? Because they never had a burning bush experience. We said it the other day when we were speaking with the saints. We said it's like Mary and Joseph. Mary had a burning bush experience. The power of the Most High overshadowed her. Friends, that was an experience.
Amen.
The supernatural spoke to her, called her by name, said, Mary. And told her, you're blessed among women. And she was troubled in herself. What does this mean? Says, no. There's tremendous promises concerning you. Me? What? You'll bring forth a son. You'll call his name Jesus. Of his kingdom, of his dominion, there'll be no end. He'll be seated upon the throne of his father David. He'll be the son of the highest. My! I don't know a man. How am I going to fulfill this commission? No. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. And that thing that is conceived in you, that holy thing, shall be the Son of God. She came from there revolutionized. She'd never understood her life before. She never understood why she was different than the other girls, why she saw things in a different way. Why when she heard the priest reading from the scrolls in the synagogue, there were certain scriptures that spoke to her. She never understood those things. But just 5 minutes in the presence of the burning bush, she was revolutionized. But you know where the problem comes in? She was espoused to a man that hadn't had a burning bush experience. So she comes and tries to explain it to Joseph. And so I've got a child, I'm going to have a child. And Joseph wasn't as happy as she was.
Amen.
He couldn't understand, and he's minded to put away privately. Why? The carnal mind cannot receive the things of the kingdom of God. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So what does God have to do? Him being a just man, being mindful to put away privately. What does God do? He comes to him with this burning bush experience. And the supernatural speaks to him and says, Joseph, do not fear to take Mary to be your wife, because that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. Try to stop him from marrying her now. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter the criticism. Doesn't matter the reproach for the cause of the word. He's had a burning bush experience. Now him and his wife are in oneness with one another. And then Mary, now she goes to Elizabeth. And now here's another woman who's had a burning bush experience. The moment you put those two burning bush experiences together, you get two chapters of the Bible. Luke chapter 2 and Luke chapter 3. The things they speak into each other, scripture in the Bible. They're prophesying over one another. Whence cometh the mother of my Lord unto me? Hey, how do you know these things? Friends, that's what you want. We want that kind of a communion. That burning bush communion. That makes a difference, friends. That makes a difference. But you can never have oneness with somebody unless that person and you both have had the burning bush experience. You can never have a true oneness. This is what the prophet says in the Message, oneness. He says the disciples, even walking with Jesus, they didn't have no oneness. They didn't have any unity. No, they argued. Who's going to be bishop after this? Who's going to be the greatest among us? They couldn't even believe Jesus. And friends, we're the same. There's certain promises that haven't activated yet with us. There's certain great promises spoken concerning us that we haven't seen activated. What makes a difference, friends, is the burning bush. It's not your sincerity. It's not your effort. Those things are good and are required. You've got to take off your shoes. You've got to approach on holy ground. You've got to yield. You've got to respond to the anointing. You've got to discern and recognize your day and season of visitation. Those are the important things. You've got to respond, the prophet says. That's all that you can do. But friends, for the greater promises to be fulfilled, we need the burning bush. Amen. It's going to take him personally to come down to energize those promises to us. Amen. And then we will say, oh, I have heard, but now I see. Amen. That's what the burning bush does. It makes such a difference. The prophet says they couldn't understand him. Thou speakest in riddles. Tell us plainly what you mean. There was no unity between Jesus and the disciples, or the disciples to Jesus, and the disciples among one another. They walked hand in hand with Jesus. You're like us now. We carry the books. We sleep with the Bible next to the pillow. They were sleeping with Jesus. He was the Word. We have the Word. We have the message. Now we walk hand in hand with Jesus. We have exactly the same, he's saying. The disciples walked hand in hand with Jesus. They slept with him. They ate with him. You know, you read the Bible while you're eating your lunch. You know, you eat with him. They watched his miracles and associated with him. Close as any brother could be. Yet they didn't have it. They wasn't fit to preach the gospel. Jesus said, don't you preach anymore. Don't you even try wait up in the city of Jerusalem. Until you have your burning bush experience. Then the same burning bush that's in me is going to be in you. And then we're going to have a oneness. Then we're going to have a unity. And friends, that's why Acts chapter 2, the Holy Ghost made that new word. One accord. There was nothing in all Greek vocabulary that could describe correctly, do justice to this relationship of these burning bush believers. And the Holy Ghost had to make a new word, one accord. You don't find it anywhere in secular Greek. One accord. It literally means one soul, one mind. Oh, friends, we can try to sit down and play mind games with each other and try to say, you know, brother, you said this about me. And no, you said that about me. And no, I didn't really say that. I didn't mean it like that. And it's mind games. But when you get to the stage that it becomes a soul communion, when you get into the presence of the burning bush, like the prophet says, take a man to the throne in prayer. Amen. When you first go and get yourself in the presence of the burning bush, and you go there grieved with that person, you go there angry with that person, the prophet, then you let God go speaking to you. Yes. Amen. He says, in that great presence, no mortal can condemn another mortal. He says, then God maybe will start showing you, yeah, things maybe that person's been through. And you'll be able to put yourself in their shoes. Friends, it's the burning bush. The burning bush is the solution to everything. If you need healing, you need the burning bush. If you need the Holy Ghost, that's the burning bush. If you need redemption in any way, redemption comes with the burning bush. He's Jehovah. He comes down as I am in the burning bush. Whatever we need, if you need your questions answered, he'll speak from the burning bush. If you need your doubts cleared up like Moses, you go to the burning bush. If you need to know what to do next, go to the burning bush. Because there's a big difference between a believer and a burning bush believer. Just as much as when Moses was just born as the prophet, when he became the burning bush prophet, what a difference it was. There's such a difference in it. And your decisions that you make, the action we take, when you just do something, this was my decision. If it's a burning bush decision, it's going to be a revolution. It's going to revolutionize that situation. If it's a burning bush decision, if you receive that solution in the presence of the burning bush, it'll make all that. But so many times we don't. We all know that. And that's when we get ourselves in trouble. That's what the prophet speaks about. Now, let's finish with this thought. Let's speak about burning bush communion at the Wright's house. Yeah? This was real burning bush communion, friends. But where did it start? The prophet had questions he didn't understand. He had a scripture that kept coming to him. If you speak to this mountain. And he couldn't understand it. And he would wrestle with it in his mind. And he would think, but hey, how can this be? This was the other side of the atonement. Jesus hadn't even yet died. How could Jesus say to his disciples, you speak to the mountain. And whatever you say, if you say to this mountain, be moved, do not doubt in your heart, it shall come to pass. The prophet couldn't understand it. So the prophet tried this. He evaded the question. He went round and about until one day he goes to his favorite woods near Salem, he says. And he goes past the sycamore thicket and he comes to a sage and there's no squirrels and he sits between two trees. And he starts to meditate. And something speaks that scripture to him once again. And he has a burning bush experience. And it revolutionizes the way that he sees the word. And then the Lord starts to speak to him and he starts to speak back on the supernaturals, answering his questions. Brother George put the quote on Redeemed the other day. When the prophet was saying, but how can it be? You know, how can it be? Is it not maybe like the prophets in the Old Testament? How God gave them power before the atonement was made? He says, and when I thought prophets, something struck and something said to me, what is it with the prophets? Do you think it was the prophets who spoke those things? When David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Was that David or was that God in David?
Amen.
And then the voice started to say to him, yes. What about when someone speaks in tongues and they don't know what they're saying?
Hallelujah.
And another person interprets without knowing what they're saying. What is that? Is that a man? Or is that the Spirit of the living God? And then he says, and when you get up there to preach and you don't know what to preach and the Spirit gets into the message,
amen.
Is that you? Or is that the Spirit of God? And the prophet says, I got up, I said, I see it. I see it. He says, if a man lives a consecrated life, such a consecrated life, yeah, putting himself in the hands of God, it's not that man speaking, it's God speaking through the man.
Amen.
And then the burning bush came down.
Hallelujah.
That super anointing came down. And said, what do you need? Speak and it'll be so. And that scripture which the prophet had been wrestling with, in the presence of that angel, in the presence of that light, that scripture was so energized to the prophet that he saw the fulfillment of it. It was a revolution. So the prophet now goes to the Wright's house and collect communion wine from George Wright because he made the communion wine. And they're sitting around the table and the prophet now starts to speak about his burning bush experience. His latest fresh burning bush experience.
Amen.
Now, the majority of the people sitting there didn't enter into the communion.
Yes. Amen.
didn't have a soul communion with the prophet about that burning bush experience. But Sister Hattie Wright, there was a soul communion.
Amen.
There was something different. She must have had a burning bush experience. There was something real inside of her that could so relate to what the prophet was saying. Though she had never seen that herself, when the prophet spoke of what the burning bush had said, spoke of what the burning bush had done, the burning bush was in her. So she said, that's nothing but the truth. And the prophet said, she spoke from her heart. It came out from her heart. And now when those two things came together, in that communion, listen how the prophet says it in New Ministry. He said, I'd been telling them about this experience. What experience? His burning bush experience in the woods. Our friends, that's fellowship. Now, if I sit with Brother Will and he can tell me, brother, the Lord really did this for me. You know, the Lord spoke this to me. This happened inside of my life. Ah, friend, that's real, up-to-date burning bush experience. That's real fellowship. You know? And then if I'm also in the Spirit at the same time, if I've had a fresh experience with God and he's had a fresh experience like that, and we get together, friends, we may have sat down there tired at the end of the day, but we're not going to be tired for long.
Amen.
There's going to be something that as soon as the burning bush in you starts to communicate to the burning bush in me, what does it do? It brings the fullness of the burning bush down. Because that's what happened in the Wright's house. When the burning bush in the prophet spoke and the burning bush in Sister Hattie Wright said, amen, that's nothing but the truth. The burning bush himself came down.
Amen.
Oh, friends, something happens when there's burning bush fellowship.
Amen.
When there's that kind of fellowship, something takes place.
Amen.
And there's a revolution in your fellowship.
Amen.
And there's a revolution in your friendship.
Amen.
And there's a revolution in the way that you look at each other after that. Because
yes.
You don't just look at yourself as, ah, that's just Brother Will or that's just Brother James. Friends, you've had a sacred something together.
Amen.
You've been on holy ground together. There's been a something that you both were there when he did something.
Amen.
You're not going to see it the same way. You're not going to see each other the same way. He said, I've been telling them about this experience. He says, don't miss this. I'll show you the sovereignty of God. Speaking of the two boys coming in that day. Yeah? And I said, that same Jehovah, trying to get his promise over to me. He could speak my need into existence the same as he could speak Abraham's need into existence. He's speaking of the I am. He's taking the same I am that came to Abraham. And the prophet's now speaking about, I've just had fellowship with that same I am.
Amen. Amen.
That's wonderful, friends.
Hallelujah.
Don't you love it when you can say the same?
Amen.
When you can come from prayer, you can come from the Word, and you can go and fellowship with someone and say, hey, my friend,
amen.
I know my Redeemer lives.
Amen.
Because I spoke to him this morning, and he spoke back to me.
Amen.
It's a present tense.
Amen.
That same Jehovah. I'd no more than said that until Sister Hattie, sitting there crying now, hadn't said a word. And she said, that's nothing but the truth. She said the right thing. In the presence of the burning bush, it's so important to say the right thing. It's so important to say the right thing. You say the right thing and watch how the atmosphere deepens. You say the right thing and watch how he comes down. Something takes place. Now, I was listening to all the testimonies of people that were with Brother Branham the last few weeks, and I was enjoying it, like Perry Green, and then that one of Ed Biskell, when they were in the car, like I said the other day. And Brother Branham asked him that question. He said, Brother Eddie, what do you think of this ministry? Do you think this ministry could be that of Malachi 4 and Revelation 10? And Brother Biskell said, I looked down at the glove box. I didn't feel qualified to answer. But then I said, it must be.
Amen.
It has every characteristic. And Brother Biskell said, if ever I said the right thing, that was it.
Hallelujah.
Why? Because he has the prophet speaking of the burning bush message. Mm-hmm. Speaking about his ministry as the burning bush prophet, yeah? And here's a man who speaks in a way that pleases the burning bush. Brother Biskell, he knew. This is the burning bush.
Amen.
This is the same as Moses. This is the same as Abraham. And he answers, says the right thing. And what happens? The burning bush comes in the car.
Amen.
The angel of the Lord, the burning bush comes down until it's such a sacred presence. Until he said, I felt if I took my next breath, I'd expire. I'd pass off the scene. And the prophet, his whiskers were sticking out and his face was deathly white because of the presence of the burning bush. Such a sacred thing. But just before that, when they're up in the mountain, that's the wonderful thing about a burning bush experience. Brother Biscuit had these questions, these deep questions inside of himself. People had told him before, did you hear what William Branham's preaching about the serpent seed? He's saying that Cain is the son of the serpent. And he's teaching now that you've got to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And there's only one God. And Brother Biscuit said, I was a young minister, so all these other ministers come on the scene. He says, and one would fall, like the prophet says, with money. One would fall with popularity. One would fall with all the different things, women. He says, and I always had my eye on Brother Branham. He had such a hope in the prophet. Because he said, there's something different about this man. Because he had been at a young man, 16 years old, and seen the burning bush. And seen the girl with the crossed eyes, her eyes come straight. And that had spoken. He had heard the voice of the sign when he had been there, Brother Biscuit. Then he hears that Brother Branham saying, what? That Cain is the son of the serpent. He said, it was like a great weight came down inside of my heart. You know those times, saints. When something's said, when something's done, it's like a burden comes on you. And you try to carry that burden. And now he's got these three questions inside of here. And then he meets up with the prophet, and the prophet comes to Brother Southwick's his allotment that he's given to come and hunt. And Brother Biscuit said, I was trying to believe. Yeah? But he had these questions. And then they have the great meetings in Dawson Creek. They have the meetings in whatever portal, Bernie, wherever it was. Then they start heading up the Alaska Highway. They have that experience with that homosexual guy. Yeah? And then finally they get hunting. And Brother Biscuit says, it was one of the highlights of my life. Because Brother Bram says to him, Brother Eddie, let's go for a walk. He says, and then Brother Chris Berg says, I'll come as well. He says, and then he changed his mind. He says, no, I won't. And Brother Bickle says, because it wasn't supposed to be like that.
Amen.
It was just supposed to be the two of us. And we started walking down there through the woods. He says, and Brother Bram put his arm around me. And he said, no one had ever really done that to me. He said, Brother Eddie, I love you like a son. If there's anything I can do for you, I'd do it for you. He says, and we came to this log, and just spontaneously, we both went and sat down on this log lying by the side of the path. And then I asked him, Brother Bram, how do those visions come? And he said, Brother Eddie, I can explain it to you like this. He says, you get anointed to preach, I get anointed to see visions. He says, when the visions pass, I can't remember them. He says, like when you preach something and there's a great blessing, you try to go and explain it to somebody else, the blessing's gone. You can't explain it. It's only when you're there you can understand it. And Brother Eddie says, I could understand that. And then he said, Brother Eddie, this morning I was riding with Brother Bud up, I think it was on that mountain, and he came to me there. And you've got three questions. You want to ask me about the serpent seed, you want to ask me about water baptism, you want to ask me about the Godhead. Friend, that's a burning bush experience.
Amen.
That's when the burning bush comes and speaks personally to you to answer your personal questions that are hindering in you and your walk with God. It's like Moses had all of these questions and these burdens that he didn't understand. He couldn't go on anymore in his calling with God. So God had to ordain for him to meet the burning bush. And then the prophet just comes. We were saying it at home the other day when we were speaking, that the way the prophet answered, he didn't say, Brother Eddie, get your Bible. Let me show you this. Let me show you that. He said, Brother Eddie, God has to reveal these things to a man.
Amen.
He said, I'll pray for you and you pray. And I believe God will reveal it to you. Ah, friends, that's the right way.
Amen.
Then Brother Eddie said he went after that. Brother Biscuit, he says, I started to read and I got into Corinthians and I saw Paul saying, I want to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ, not as Eve. He says, and it struck me. Paul is preaching the serpent seed. Eve wasn't a chaste virgin when she was presented to Adam.
Yes, right. Yes.
He said, it started to unfold now. Ah, friends, that's what the burning bush does. It'll revolutionize things. It may be so simple like that, that you're just walking down a path in the mountains, yeah, with a burning bush prophet. And God grants you some burning bush fellowship. And that burning bush fellowship will minister the key that you need to open the door to set you free from your current situation. But you've got to go and use that key.
Yes.
And you go and use that key and see how it opens things up in that season of visitation. When God is dealing with you and when God is visiting you. It was the same, friends. It's always the same. It's the same. You speak the right thing and watch how the burning bush will come to you. Say the right thing. Say the right thing. Say the right thing in prayer and see how the atmosphere changes in your prayer. When you're struggling in prayer, you can't find the words to say. You just worship Him in a certain way. You just say a certain something. The atmosphere starts to change. There comes an energizing into your prayer. Your prayer starts to be revolutionized. You end up praying a prayer that you never thought you were going to pray when you entered into prayer. That's the burning bush experience. Friends, and it can go deeper and deeper. Let's just finish with this. The prophet says, Sister Hattie, we're close about the same age. Brother George, right there, her dad, said, I've been where 30,000 raw heathens were saved at one time in South Africa, came to Christ. I thought that was the greatest anointing I ever felt. It never in no way compared with that down at George Wright's the other day. My.
Hallelujah.
Now, every one of these experiences we've spoken of so far, none of them were in church. None of them were in church. Moses wasn't in church. He was alone with God. That's where you really meet the burning bush, friends. You don't rely upon church. Moses went and he was alone with God. Yeah. Paul met the burning bush himself. Jacob met the angel stepping from the burning bush, wrestled with him when he was in his own prayer time by the brook Peniel. That's where you meet the burning bush. It's when you're alone with God. Brother Biskel met the burning bush in a car, met the burning bush walking in a forest. The prophet met the burning bush when he was out hunting, sitting between two trees.
Amen.
Met the burning bush in a cave when he went to seek an understanding about things that were troubling him in 1946. Our friends, prayer is such an important thing.
Amen.
Your own prayer, your own consecration, your own seeking God. There comes a certain time when he draws near. And he says, if now if you seek me with all your heart, you're going to find me. And there's going to be a revolution. And I'm going to take you back to where you were before you came into this captivity.
Amen.
That's what he said in Jeremiah 29. It's a personal thing.
Yes, sir.
This isn't a group thing. The day of Pentecost is different. I understand that. But the rest of these examples,
Amen.
Friends, it's personal.
Amen.
Because we're personal. We have personal needs. We need his personal ministration. Yes. The burning bush is in his ministry. The burning bush is in his church. He will minister to us. We'll see it on Sunday through the burning bush like that. But friends, there's nothing as sweet. There's nothing as revolutionary in your experience. There's nothing as revitalizing and re-energizing in the life of a believer than for you personally to come yourself back into the presence of the burning bush. And he speaks to you and you speak back to him and you get up like Moses after that. And life is different.
Yes.
And those questions, you don't have them no more. You know what it is that needs to be done. You know who you are. You know what you were raised up for.
Amen.
And friends, that's the inheritance of every single one of the children
yes.
of God.
Thank you, Lord.
The prophet says, I've never felt anything like that. The whole room just seemed to be a light of the glory of God.
Amen.
That's burning bush fellowship, friends.
Amen.
Now, Sister Hattie is very quiet. A pious little woman, never raises her voice about anything. You could have heard her scream a city block when the Holy Spirit struck the building. Everybody there felt it. It was wonderful. We may live a long time, Sister Hattie, but as long as there's a memory in our mind, we'll remember that, Sister Wright.
Amen.
That's what it is. Pray you may live a long time. Moses lived another 40 years. He never forgot that. He never forgot that. He might have had so many other things happen, but that day, on those sacred sands, something was ministered to him that nothing could take away. Something he'll do for you that you'll never forget as long as you live. And that makes a difference between a believer and a burning bush believer. Between a prophet and a burning bush prophet. Between a bride and a burning bush bride.
Amen.
Between a message and a burning bush message.
Amen.
That's what makes the difference. It's so simple, but it's so deep. It's so simple, but it's so profound. It's so simple, but it's so important. There's nothing more important. There's nothing you need today except for to meet the burning bush. You may say, I need money. You don't. You need to meet the burning bush. You might say, I need to get married. You don't. You need to meet the burning bush. You might say, I need healing. No, you don't. You need to meet the burning bush. And He will take care of the rest. Let's stand, friends. Let's come to a short time of prayer before we go. We want to come into the presence of the burning bush. Let's just seek Him a little bit before we go. I will continue on Sunday. Let's bow our heads. If you're seeking for a burning bush experience, today, there's something that you need. There's something you need the Lord to do for you. Let's agree as we come to pray to say, Lord, confirm your word.
Amen.
Confirm your word. You say it to the Lord yourself as you pray to say, Lord, I'm asking of you to confirm your word to me.
Amen.
But friends, it doesn't stop here.
Amen.
You may need to get onto your old stomping grounds in the cave. You may need to get yourself to the backside of the desert. You may need to come for your all-night prayer in church once again.
Amen.
You may need to come tomorrow or shut yourself in your room or get yourself in your car and go wherever that it is.
Hallelujah.
But if you sincerely seek the Lord and say, Lord, confirm your word to me. I need a revolution in this part of my spiritual experience.
Amen.
Friends, if you respond to Him now, how are you going to fail? How is He going to fail to meet you? If you're predestined, He doesn't want you to continue on without that burning bush coming to minister in that time, place of your experience.
Hallelujah.
Let's pray. Let's just seek Him for a bit before we go. Let's say, Lord, confirm your word to me. Show me the next step, Lord. Draw me unto yourself. Continue, Lord, to speak. I will respond. I'll take off my shoes. I will seek the Lord. I'll come on holy ground. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do pray. Saints, let's unite ourselves together in faith as we close in a word of prayer. If anybody has a need, just raise your hand before the Lord. How wonderful His word. He says, if two of you agree concerning anything. Friends, in the presence of the burning bush, let's agree tonight. For Sister Julie, that she'll be healed in Jesus' name. Whatever the need that we have, that the Lord will minister to that need. Father, in simplicity, how we come unto Thee, because You are faithful to Your word. And Father, we stand upon the promises of Your word upon this day. Father, Lord, You are the one that ministers deliverance to the captives. Father, You are the one that comes down when there's no hope. I think of Moses when he had given up even on the thought of freedom. Father, when he couldn't see how it was going to be that his situation was going to change. I think of our brothers, Lord, at the back that need You. Father, with their papers, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Father, You are the I am upon this day.
Amen.
Father, You minister freedom unto
Hallelujah.
Them.
Amen.
Father, You minister freedom Amen. In the presence of the burning bush, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Father, You are the one, speak, Lord,
Amen.
To every circumstance, to every situation, Lord, to every heart, to every person that would be involved in these things, Lord. Turn it around. Turn it upside down, Lord. Bring it forth for Your glory, we pray. Even our sister, Lord. Father, we speak Your word of health upon her in Jesus' name. We say to the enemy, no more. That, Father, you would touch her, that you'd restore her. Even Brother Vlad's family that are sick, Lord, with those needs, Lord. Father, you said you sent your word and you healed them, Lord. We send your word to heal them in Jesus' name. And every other need that your people have, Lord. Father, Lord, we just come unto you. You are the great I am. And Father, you gave the promise, Lord, that if two of us agree, Father, we agree tonight. So we thank you for fulfilling your word. Father, I pray for every person in need of a burning bush experience. Father, where Satan has confused the minds of our young people. Father, I curse him, Lord. I curse him, Lord. I curse that darkness, Lord. I curse that serpent spirit. I curse that evil that would come to influence our young people, Lord. And Father, we speak deliverance over them. That you, Lord, Father, would draw nigh. Father, grant them a burning bush, Lord. Father, grant them draw nigh unto their souls at this time, Lord. Persuade them once again, Lord, to come away from those broken cisterns, Lord, and to come unto the living waters, Lord. You speak through the supernatural to them, Lord. Turn them around, we pray, Lord. Minister deliverance to the captives, Lord. Father, deliver them from the bondage of the devil, we pray. To bring them, Lord, into liberty, we pray. And if other need, Brother George, concerning his job, Lord. Father, you are the one that ministers the key. Let him use the key now, Lord. And surely you will open the door, Father, to where you want him to be. Bless him, Lord, I pray. And Father, each brother and each sister, Lord, even as we go from this place, grant us traveling mercies upon this night, Lord. Bring us into your house once again on Sunday, Lord. Father, we desire burning bush fellowship. We desire burning bush song worship, Lord. We desire to feed on the burning bush message. So help us tomorrow to spend time in the presence of the burning bush. We want burning bush fellowship with one another, Lord. We want burning bush communion, Lord, that brings the glory down upon our communion, Lord. Father, you minister, Lord, grant us grace. Help us to redeem the time, we pray. Father, watch over us as we go from this place. Bless each and every one of your people upon this night. Bless Brother Ellie and his family, we pray, Lord. Bless them in their new home. Father, we pray you'll help them to be established there in the things they need to do. And help us, Lord, as we thank you for your grace. We thank you for opportunity to meet in your house. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing one song as we close, if you have one for us, brother. Let's sing that song, We've Got the Power, in the name of Jesus.
We've got power in the name of Jesus. The wind. above, by the church of Jesus, oh, we're still alive. Like a mighty army, oh, we can march in on the winning every battle. Oh, we're the Lord by your side. Oh, we've got the power. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we've got the power. Oh, in the name of the Lord. Oh, those Satan rages, oh, we cannot be. We've got the power, oh, in the name of the Lord. Oh, we've got the power, oh, the power in the name of Jesus. Oh, we've got the power, oh, in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, oh, Satan, oh, gracious, we cannot be defeated. We've got the power in the name of the Lord.
Amen. One of them, amen.
Amen. Let's finish with one of them. Aren't you glad you're one of them?
Amen.
Aren't you glad you're a burning bush believer?
Amen.
That you met him at the burning bush? Oh, friends.
Almost everywhere, whose hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made him clean. Oh, it is burning down within my heart. Oh, glory to his name. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Are you one of them? For I'm one of them. One of them. One of them. Oh, are you glad? I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh, you one of them. One of them. Oh, I am glad. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, though this paper may not learn to be the boast of holy faith, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, and are dwelling now both far and His power is yet the same. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, are you one of them? I am. Oh, one of them. Oh, you one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say, you can say it. Oh, we one of them. Oh, yes, Lord, one of them. Oh, oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. They were gathered in the apple, for they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. And powerful servants came. Now what we did for them that day to the service. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Are you one of them? Oh, one of them. Oh, one of them. Oh,
I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Oh, one of them. One of them. One of them.
I'm so glad.
I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Well, come, my brother. Come, my brother. Seek this blessing. God will cleanse your heart from sin. Oh, God will set the joy burning. Oh, and will keep the soul aflame. Oh, it is burning now within my glory to His name. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say, oh, I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Are you one of them?
Oh, one of them.
One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, you one of them.
Oh, one of them.
Oh, one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
Oh, you are one of them.
We are one of them.
I'm so glad that I can say one of them.
Let's sing one more. Let's sing that song, When the Saints Go Marching. You can even change the words to say, I want to be, no, say, I'm going to be in that number. When the Saints Go Marching. Amen.
I'm a stranger, oh, wandering through this world of sin.
Take marching in
when the saints go marching.
Oh Lord, I want,
Lord, I want
to be in that number.
Oh, when the saints go marching.
Oh, I know,
I know,
oh, I know, I'll see my Savior if my life. Oh, Lord, I want to be.